And so, yeah, been in the church world and doing tech for a few large churches over the last 13 years. And although I'm not the most technical person, audio is my first love. But when it comes to like the whole gamut, there are people who are way smarter, way more technical than myself. But the thing that really has opened doors for me was leadership. Being able to lead teams, create systems, and be able to see the bigger picture. And so that's kind of the perspective that I'm going to be viewing things and talking from tonight. So currently, like Gary said, I'm the campus pastor and AVL director at Engedi Church, and we have four campuses, and I love it. I love what we get to do. So let's dive in. So I really kind of wanted to open up the night just talking about, like, why go digital? Now, how many of you are already there, already using a digital console? Okay. It's about half the room, all right? Maybe a little more. Cool. Well, let me tell you about why we went digital. So every organization I've been a part of, before I left, they went digital, right? And there are a lot of reasons for that. Number one, there's a lot of benefits to going digital. And the first benefit is that going digital gave us more tools. It just gives you more tools. Instead of just having a few sweepable bands on your EQ, all of a sudden now you have dynamics processing, you got effects, you got a wide array of things that you can use to really, what the bottom line is, get a better mix. That's really what it's about at the end of the day. Yeah, any way you cut it, it's like, yo, we just need a better mix. It needs to sound great because we don't want any barriers between the audience, whoever that is, whether it's in church or outside of church, and what's happening on stage. And so that was the initial benefit at every organization I worked at. When we went digital, it just got better. It was that simple, okay? And that's not like there are other things that we did as well in order to get there, but that was a huge part. Second, it allowed our people to be musical faster, okay? So at a lot of churches, when you go onto the audio team, I mean, it's really technical. There are so many decisions you make when it comes to building a mix, right? What are you going to do on the low end? What are you going to do? What's going to sit in the low mids? What's going to sit in that area, right? What's going to be like just really trebly and like sit on top and really like add some shimmer to your mix? There's all these decisions you need to make. And then on all the inputs that are coming through, you know, it's one thing if it's just an acoustic and a vocal, but when it's like an orchestra and a band and a choir, it's like, all right, now we're going next level. And there's some decisions that need to be made. So going digital, especially now at Engedi, allows us to get people mixing before they know how to get to the final mix. And that's really critical. If everybody that mixed at Engedi had to have like this superior knowledge of audio, we would be in some deep trouble being multi-campus and, you know, just needing volunteers. You always, always need more people, right? And so what this allows is like, hey, we're going to start with these settings. We're going to have one of our seasoned people kind of stand with you, kind of do the sound check with you, get the mix going, and then you're going to be hands-on, and we're going to teach you how to build a mix with all the faders down and what we're going for level-wise, right? And what it feels like to be in music. Because what we do is musical, not just technical, right? It's musical. So you got to love music, and you got to know what sounds right, right? So if you don't listen to a lot of music, you probably won't know it sounds good. And so that's what we try to teach our people. And having a digital console is amazing for that, you know? So, you know, if you have an event and everything gets tweaked, you know, you can always recall your settings from the last Sunday, even though you have a concert in the middle of the week, right? And so that's been a huge, huge thing for us. And this is the thing. Once they start doing the fader management and learning how to actually put things in its proper place just with levels, we'll go back and start training them on deeper levels. You know, it doesn't end there. But that's our starting point because we really just need people to be able to do it, you know, in a few weeks and kind of start working on that and developing their ear. But, you know, again, it can't be one size fits all. Some people are going to want to go deeper, and some people are just like, hey, man, I just love coming to church on Sunday, and I love volunteering, and I love music, but they don't want to learn how to build a mix from scratch and miking things and all of that, or how does a compressor work? And so we need to be able to have a wide pool of people to be able to use on our teams. And that's just our approach. It's not the only approach. That's the way we've approached it, all right? And lastly, the benefits of going digital is it helps create consistency. You know, week to week, event to event, we could have more consistency with the ability to recall scenes. And we can always start at, have a similar starting point, right? It's not like, oh, yeah, I don't know. You know, I remember being back in the analog days. I mean, it just, you know, anybody could tweak anything. Or if some event came into town, I mean, it was a lot of work to get everything back to where you originally started. Personally, I'm the kind of guy who likes to zero everything out and, like, start from scratch because I don't trust my last mix. I'm like, nah, man, I was sick last week. I need to redo that. But there is benefit to be able to recall things, especially if you're miking things the same. The drum set doesn't change. You use the same guitar amps, the same microphones, same vocalists, same elements. Having scenes to be able to recall from the previous weeks can be mission critical. And so it helps create consistency. So why has going digital been essential for us? And now again, I'm speaking from our perspective over at Engedi. There are different ways that you can approach to getting the same result. And everybody has a different context. And so I just wanna call that out. So consistency is everything to us. You know, we are trying to replicate an experience that happens and began at our Chicago Drive campus, right? And so how do we translate that? You know, there's so many variables. You know, sometimes it could just be as simple as, like, the drummer at this campus isn't good as the drummer at this campus, right? So you don't get the same tone because he doesn't hit it as hard. But that being said, taking those kinds of things out of the equation, we want to build similar systems at every one of our campuses so that we can replicate as much as possible. And so going digital for us has been crucial for that. And so it's not just about going digital, right? And it's like, oh, so at our Chicago Drive campus when we went digital, we had this budget. And now when we went, you know, to this campus, we have this budget. And so you start picking and choosing the kinds of consoles, and they may not be the same brand. Well, I'm a huge believer in standardizing. So standardizing across all our campuses, starting to say, hey, we're going to go with this one manufacturer or two manufacturers. Maybe once you get to a certain size, you're like, we're going with the elite. But when you're a smaller campus, we're going to go with this standard of audio console. But for us, that has been huge because not only can you share and recall scenes from campus to campus, but virtual sound check, you could share the same files, you could do similar training at one site where everybody attends, but when they go back to their campus, they're using the same gear. And so it's second, they're like, oh yeah, I remember when he did that. Oh, I remember this screen. And they kind of start figuring it out. So the only thing I want to say in addition to the consistency thing is just know your why. You have to know your system, your context, and also your vision. You know, our vision is to be very volunteer driven. And so we just have to make our systems, you know, run according to that. Where other churches, they're big enough to hire a position at every campus. And so their context is totally different than ours. So their systems are going to look different. So for you and your context, just know what the end goal is. Because just to go digital or just to go with a certain manufacturer because so-and-so is, it may not always be the answer for you. So do your research and find it. Like, I'm a huge believer in using integrators, and there are plenty represented tonight. But go with somebody who has some know-how and can really catch your vision and help you get to your goal. All right, now the rest of the time here, I'm going to be sharing on a non-technical thing. Well, it's still kind of technical, but that is mission critical to achieving goals, whatever they may be. So equipment is not everything. What else is needed for success? You know, I love gearheads. I love talking about gear, especially in the studio, talking about boutique, you know, compressors and preamps. I mean, I could waste, you know, weeks just talking about it. It's one of my things. Same thing with music. I could just sit and talk about a record. Hey, man, why don't we go to my house and listen to this on vinyl? And then we just examine from track to track. Yeah, it's kind of nerdy. I don't know if anybody else is there with me, but what else is needed for success? So number one, collaboration. Collaboration. Usually as audio engineers, we are not the ones driving the vision. Whether in the church world, with a worship leader, a music director, a lead pastor, executive pastor, you know, giving you, hey, can you turn this down? Can you turn this up? Sure, you know. Or outside the church world, a producer, a tour manager, a band. Our success hinges on our ability to collaborate, okay? On our ability to collaborate. No one wants to work with someone who they can't collaborate with. So all that to say that our role is to get the vision that whomever has, right? And execute that vision. And so it's so important to have this collaborative personality. You know, it doesn't mean you always agree, but it definitely means that, hey, this is a team sport. We're in a team sport, man. This is not about me, my preferences, my record collection, my experience. All that's thrown out the window. What matters is what we're trying to execute. That is what matters in this moment, not anything else. Okay? And so that is one of the things that I just live and die on, man. And I think it's really important, specifically, in every context. In every context. If you're going on tour with Metallica, right? It's like it hinges on being able to collaborate, being flexible, coming up with solutions. Like, man, that's a crazy thing. I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we can flip the drum set upside down 50 feet in the air, but we'll try. We'll try to figure that out. So for myself and my experience, I'm always willing to take the questions and suggestions from leadership. And in return, leadership is always willing to receive my advice, pushback, and suggestions as well. We may not always agree, but we are for one another. We're not for ourselves, right? But for one another, for what we're trying to accomplish. So again, coming back to that, it's not just technical, or it's not just about being right, or about winning an argument when we're mixing. There's a Christmas show that I've done the last 3 years, and the gentleman who puts this Christmas show on, I mean, he's particular, right? And I don't know what his experience was before me. And this is not tooting my own horn, but this is just me just sharing my experience, okay? Because there have been plenty of times where I failed. But, you know, he comes up, and that was this year, it was this past December, comes up to me and he's just like, hey, Christian. He's like, hey, man. Oh, it's sounding great, man. It's sounding great. I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. And he's like, hey, man, I was just wondering, though, like, can you do this with the bass and do that with the, you know, with the vocal and do this with the acoustic? And I'm just like, yeah, man, whatever you want. This is your baby. Like, whatever you want, we can make adjustments. Let's do it. And immediately, his whole posture changed. All of a sudden, he went from like, hey, Christian, I'm walking on eggshells. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, yeah, man, so what do you think if we did this and we did that? And all of a sudden, now this is open conversation about trying to get whatever result he wanted to get. Right, and so our posture is so important. It's not just, again, a technical thing or being right. It's also about honoring one another and trying to understand what the person that you're serving under is trying to accomplish. And so it's got to be collaborative. And sometimes disarming people is more important than anything else. Once you disarm them, they're like, oh, man, I want to work with you. And that in and of itself is going to open up doors for you if this is something that you want to do long term, whether in the church world, outside the church world. It's really, really important trait. All right, next is trust. Trust. Trust is critical and essential. The people on stage are trusting that we, right, have their back and will execute. And so we're not like, yeah, we're talking in the green room about one thing, and then we go out and we execute something different, right? That's not what we're here to do. We're here to just all be under one vision and accomplish one goal. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest compliments I've ever received has been being told over and over again that when I'm in the booth, people are not worried. they trust that things will go well. Even if we make a mistake, they still trust that that mistake was a mistake and that it's not going to repeat itself, but that our goal is excellence and accomplishing the same thing. And that should be all of our goals as audio engineers, is like, hey man, I'm going to be present. I'm not going to miss a cue. I'm going to go where you want us to go. And that's it. You can trust me. I got your back. Okay. And so trust is the key ingredient to having incredible experiences, whether that's a worship service, a concert, theater production, or something like this, like a conference. All right. We got to trust one another, man. And there's no, you know, you don't want to spend that trust change on the wrong thing. All right. So just make sure that you always have that trust level with those you're serving. Next is excellence. Excellence. Something that we say a lot, me and a couple of my buddies, sweat the small stuff. Sweat the small stuff. Always. Always. It's not just because the mix is great. Okay, you can have the best mix, but if you miss cues, that mic isn't on when it needs to be on. Right? And so it's not, so not missing cues, anticipating what's about to happen, but still staying in the moment, making sure that you've planned ahead, being prepared, whether that's putting time in on virtual sound check and working on your mix, or maybe it's just making sure that you're giving the right mics for the right application. It could be anything, but just being planned out, being prepared, and being present and going where the band needs to go. So that's critical, man. You never just set the levels and walk away. But, you know, the more, there are videos online, and the more you hear bands that are successful talk about what makes them a success, more and more you're starting to hear that the person in front of the house is critical to their success. It's like, oh, they're an extension of us. It's part of the band, right? It's why they use the same people over and over again, tour after tour, or at, you know, service after service, or why they hire them on is because, man, we just trust him, and he just gets us, you know, and he just knows, and he's ready. So we're always on, you know. We're never just clocking out and saying, no, I'm done for today. And so in addition to that, being excellent requires sweat. Requires sweat. And in our world, if you're setting up a PA, I mean, you're actually going to sweat. But I'm talking about the equity, you know, of the time put in order to get better at what you do. Anyone can get, and that's a loose anyone, okay? Like most blanket statements. Anyone can get a mix sounding 60, 70, 80% good, right? I mean, like, that's why there's only a top tier of people who are hired to do this full time and travel the world. But it's that last 20% that separates the good from the great. So you need that sweat equity, man. You just got to put the time in. Got to put the time in. So get better. Get better. How do you get better? Virtual sound check. How many of you guys are using virtual sound check? Virtual sound check is when you record the band and play it back later. Like the band's there, but you get to just tweak things and really just experiment and figure out what sounds right. Being around others who are better than you. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I remember when I was first starting to do audio in churches and got an internship at a church, I went to Res Life, and I think, where are the Res Life guys at? Are they still here? They go home? No? So Cliff Rosenberg was the front of house guy for Res Life at the time. And I remember, you know, I've been doing it for a couple of years, but I was still, man, so newbie. And he was like, hey, you want to mix tonight? It was like their midweek service. Hey, you want to mix tonight? And I said no. But I was so intimidated, man. I was so intimidated. I was like, there's no way I can mix here. You know, what is he going to think of me? What's going to happen? I always regret that decision because I'd rather fail and try than not. But that being said, I did surround myself with people like that who, when they spoke, man, I was listening. I was listening. Even if I just fake it till you make it, when he's like going into like deep audio stuff, I'm like, uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But didn't know what he was talking about. until a few years later, and then that light bulb, oh, that's what Cliff meant like 3 years ago. Yeah, and Doug was the one who like reset it, and now it clicked for me. It made sense. And so it's a journey, right? And so surround yourself with people who are better than you. That's okay. We should do that so that we get inspired and they push us. Another thing I would do is intern for free, man, whether that's volunteering at a church, which many of us, I'm sure, are doing. And then when I first started out, I was working for free at recording studios. That's it. And I was just like the peon. You know, I would just get the stuff and, you know, I didn't get to do none of the fun stuff. But that's where I learned, man. That's where it wasn't just, you know, that I was taught it. It was caught, right? And so just being around it, being a fly on the wall, just ended up all just kind of taking it all in. It really, really helped. Really, really helped. Nowadays, there's videos that you can watch, right? Videos on the internet. You know, I just subscribed to Mixing with the Masters. Anybody subscribe to Mix with the Masters? Yeah, it's amazing, man. I've already wasted so much of my life on that. It's basically recording studio mixers and engineers explaining what they did on the biggest records in the industry and what their process looks like. It is so good. But there are plenty of videos out there. The Mix You guys have videos out there. There's a bunch of resources. And so if you guys have any questions on that, I would love to share it with you. Plenty of us know about additional resources. And then there are people in our area who are willing to come and train your teams in real time. And come out and spend the day, have some lunch, a few laughs, you know. And so we're here to equip one another. And so I think we should be using one another as resources. So yeah, invest into your craft. It's like anything else you do. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was just having a humble posture. Always be learning, man. Always be learning. You know, I try to surround myself with people that are way smarter than me, you know, because I want to continue to learn. You know, I have not reached it like Paul, I have not reached that level like Paul said, but I'm striving for it. That's what we all should be doing. So be humble and open to being wrong or learning a new way. You know, we experience this in all areas of our life, like when we first get saved, right? We first come to know Jesus. We're like, man, we're on fire. And then somebody says something different than your pastor said or like your small group leader. And you're like willing to die to fight them over this point, right? Because it's all you know. It happens in audio. Like, no, man, this is the way we've always done it. This is what you always do with the kick drum. I'm telling you. And we just have to get away from that a little bit. Just be humble and open to learning. Sometimes it's just about being flexible. That's all it is. It's not about the other person being right. It's about it being both ways. And so I'll end with this. And this is kind of what I frame everything I do on, is that you need to have flexibility in your capability. It's that simple. Have flexibility in your capability. So when, no matter how good you are at something, you just have to learn how to work with others well. That is the thing that we are in. We're kind of like a service, you know, service oriented, like going to get a haircut, right? It's like we're serving other people. Like when we get our haircut there, how do you want it styled? Well, I want it like this. And then like they do it and they're like, no, you need to touch this up a little. No, you need to touch this up a little bit. The audio is the same way, you know? There are people who love things to be warm, right, in their mix. And there are other people like, nah, man, it needs to be like you too. I want the guitar to just cut my head off, right, when I hear it come through. And so just be flexible in your capability, all right? Any questions? It's kind of what I had planned. Did I rush through that? Okay, all right. Sometimes I can go a little too fast, and it's like, you got to slow down. But is there any questions, maybe more technical, about how we do campusing, what consoles we're using? I mean, I'm willing to answer whatever you guys want. So, yeah, that's a great question, man. I get the privilege of being able to work with a couple of guys that I've worked with for many years, and previous to this church, we worked at other churches together. And so we, at this point, it's almost like second nature. But that's a great question. When I was working in Seattle, I had to learn like a whole new style of thinking, a whole new way of kind of going about things. And then I reported to a technical person, but then I was really good friends with the lead worship guy. And so I'm like the main audio guy. And so I'm trying to juggle like answering to this person and answering to this person and who's making the call. Communication is vital, vital. I'm an over-communicator by nature. So I will ask you the same question like 15 times just so I know like, okay, we understand each other. And so I think doing the work on the front end is really, really critical. What are you going for on a weekend? Like, what's the goal? What's the win? If that's not clearly defined, then it's kind of like, you know, how I was feeling that day. But if you're like, man, this is the type of mix we're going for regardless, and we always trust the production, that's one of our values. We always trust the production. We don't believe, not saying that it couldn't happen, but we just don't believe that we're going to produce a record better than Hillsong. So the way they produced it, that's the way we're going to do it. Because it sounds phenomenal. And everything's sitting in the pocket and in the right place. Or take your pick, Elevation, whomever, you know, House Fires. And so you got to know what your win is. And so what we've done is on the front end, we've clearly defined that. So there's no question week to week what we're doing. So when they say, hey, tell your audio engineers to go to Planning Center, listen to the songs on Planning Center, and that's what we're going for. Just listen to that. And that's a great starting point. It doesn't mean that's where we land. When we go to rehearsal and we're listening to everything kind of in context, then we make adjustments. But we just have each other's back and kind of predefine what our sound is, that it's modern, it's loud, you know, it's going to be young and free and hip-hop. You know, we like to incorporate like a rap verse. You know, those are the types of things that we do, but that's not for every organization, but we've defined that. We're going to be diverse. We're going to be modern. And, you know, I actually do a mixing class where we go through an array of songs, regardless of genre, and you're going to find the same elements. You're going to find the same elements in all that kind of pop music that you hear on Top 40, regardless of the genre. But did that answer the question? Sort of? Maybe more process? I don't know. I'm more like big vision, you know, kind of guy. So any other questions? Yeah. It's a trick. It definitely is. So I try to do two audio trainings, like big trainings per year for all of our campus volunteers to attend. That's always a great place to just kind of define what we're going for. But yeah, we make rounds. So we have the unique privilege of having our executive pastor today used to be the worship pastor at Engedi. So he's very musical. And so before I was campus pastor, I would actually make rounds. I go to Grand Rapids, I go to North Holland, go to Chicago Drive. Now there's less of that. The best way for us to do it is to train our worship leaders. And our worship leaders then communicate, and we actually tell them, like, hey, you should be walking around at some point during sound check on Sunday just to make sure, like, number one, it's not too loud. Number two, it's not too low, right? And C, that it's well done, you know, that everything is kind of sitting right and there's energy and that we're accomplishing what we're trying to do. So that's kind of how we approach it. It's not perfect. You know, and so from week to week, it can vary. You know, some weeks are going to be really, really great. And other weeks are going to be like, hey, we need to really massage this and get it to a better place. So. Yeah, great question. Currently, the way we do it is we're still working on implementing it campus-wide, okay? So we're not doing that. Trick is right now, Grand Rapids actually rehearses at our broadcast site, And North Holland also rehearses at our broadcast site because they're set up teardown. And so there isn't that leisure of having the systems in order to implement them at our campuses right now. But we would love to get there. As far as our broadcast site goes, we really mainly do it on training time. It's not a week-to-week thing. When I was at Ridgepoint, it was a week-to-week thing. Actually, our audio people didn't even come to rehearsal. Just the staff took care of what needed to be taken care of. And then the audio volunteers, both for broadcast and for front of house, would come the following evening, and we go to town on that virtual sound check. And so what it allowed for was for real-time training, if needed, if they're new. And secondly, as they progressed, it allowed for me to just be like, okay, I hit play, they get to go to town, and then I come back like 45 minutes later, an hour later, and tell them all their mistakes, so to speak. But you actually remember things better when you've done it and then are corrected. And sometimes they would just smash it, and I'd be like, that sounds amazing. And so that's how we did it at Ridgepoint. At Engedi, we haven't really implemented it on a week to week, but we will every time we do a training, and then sometimes we'll do that in getting hands-on. So, yeah, great question. Cool. Thanks, everybody.